Good morning. I hope you're having a fine Sunday morning. Welcome back to another edition of Miami Valley Voices on this Cox radio station. I'm your host, Ron Rollins from the Dayton Daily News, and we are in the studio today with Christina Herr, the Senior Director of Program Services at Goodwill Easter Seals of the Miami Valley. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great.
I'm happy to hear, and we just met today when you came in for the program, and we're here to talk about kind of a legislative cultural milestone in American history. The Americans with Disabilities Act is 25 years old this year.
That's right.
Obviously, a law that had a big impact on the people that Goodwill Easter Seals works with and serves every day. Remind people about the law and how it came about and how it affects. Talk a little bit about how it affects the people you work with.
Okay. Well, the law was signed in by George W. Bush in 1990, and then it was amended again in 2008. And the springboard for it, really, the backdrop for it all, is the Civil Rights Law in 1964, where it just guarantees that people with disabilities have the same rights as anybody else. And it spells out a lot of things that we kind of take for granted now, but when you have some difficulty getting around or mm-hmm. getting information, you really appreciate the changes that have happened.
Mm-hmm.
At Goodwill, we support people with all different disabilities. And in fact, we have a person who's kind of an ambassador of ours who has her own challenges getting around. She has a blog on the Goodwill site, Sherry's blog, and she talked she's talked about how wonderful the changes are. There's still access problems, but the fact that there is so much more is helpful.
And she gave a TED Talk last year at TEDx Dayton and has done a couple of columns for us.
Yeah. Yes, she's very good.
Yeah,
very
she's
good.
She's terrific. Well, and so now using somebody who lives in a wheelchair, as she does, as an example, how did life change for them with the ADA?
Well, I think, you know, we know that ramps help mm-hmm. if you're in a wheelchair. If you can't access doorknobs or pull doorknobs, you need the push button.
Mm-hmm.
Elevators the same way. Things have to be lower.
Mm-hmm.
Desks have to be higher. Sinks in the bathroom have to be lower. The bathroom stalls have to be bigger. Doorways have to be bigger. Transportation, sometimes you'll have to have a lift to get on a bus or into mm-hmm. a car. So it really kind of opens up your whole world to accessing whatever is out in the community.
And it's almost hard to remember a time before we had all those things.
Until you come across a place where it's still not there.
Right, right. and there are still places where, there's places where there are waivers or exceptions, but for the most part, new construction, retrofitted buildings and stuff have to follow the law and follow these accessibility requirements.
Right, especially state and local governments and public events. But the problem is more with the older mm-hmm. buildings.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes if you're trying to get around, you have to call in ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But like the Schuster Center, you know, you think about the ramps and the elevators, but they also have a program for people who have visual disabilities
right.
who want to go, and they have headphones, and they describe moment by moment what's happening so that they can have a good experience there.
I did not realize that. Now, is that the kind of thing that's mandated by the law, or is that the sort of thing that the culture just does now because there's this consciousness that's been raised?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that that's just not mandated by law, mm-hmm. but an extension of people believing that they want people to have access.
So it kind of, there was the legislative portion, like thou shalt, you know, do mm-hmm. this, but then there was the sort of just a general change in the way we think about this as an issue and something we should do.
Well, you have to think about 30% of the population at some time or other has some sort of impairment that's going to affect them.
What was the percentage?
30%.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, it could be temporary, and it may not be one that really interferes much with life. About 14% have a significant disability so that it interferes with something,
mm-hmm.
either getting access to communication or events or places.
Mm-hmm.
So you think about that, and you think about how the generations are getting older,
mm-hmm.
not you or I, but the rest of the
everybody
people.
Else, right,
yeah.
right.
And then are you also thinking about the veterans that are coming back that have temporary or long-term disabilities?
Mm-hmm.
And so the need is really only getting greater.
Sure. So talk a little bit about the kind of services that Goodwill offers. I mean, it's pretty broad.
It's very broad, and it's growing all the time. We have services for deaf and hard of hearing. We have services for people with visual disabilities, people with developmental disabilities, people with behavioral health disabilities. Mm-hmm. And then we have services for veterans, people, seniors who want to work. Anybody really has some struggles, particularly in employment.
Mm-hmm.
But we also help assist people in trying to find the right services or supports or adaptations so that they can just do for themselves, even in their own home.
Mm-hmm. And are people generally referred to Goodwill by another organization, or how do your clients find you?
Yes, they generally are referred, but, you know, a lot of times referrals are tied to funding streams or doctor's offices, or you've got a certain background in your income.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, most people who are in need for work or have some disability can call Goodwill directly.
Mm-hmm.
We have navigators who just figure out where they probably need to talk to somebody.
That's an interesting job description. So what does the navigator do? How does that work?
Well, when, you know, you can imagine the number of calls, the different calls we get. So this person listens to the caller and then says, okay, I think you need to talk to this department,
mm-hmm.
and sends them on their way. And then they get another navigator who will then even get more in depth. But, you know, sometimes with disabilities, it's access to things, but it's also, you may have a number of things that you're having difficulty with. Low income, might be having financial problems,
mm-hmm.
Might be having health problems or home, keeping mm-hmm. a home. So keeping a job is key. But it's a lot of other things surrounding it.
So how is Easter Seals tied in? Are those two organizations joined everywhere nationally? Or
no.
Is that a Miami Valley thing?
It happens occasionally. In Miami Valley, you know, we joined with Easter Seals. And so we have a huge area because of that.
Remind people of their mission.
The mission of Easter Seals, generally they provide services for people who are young and elderly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think our missions are very similar. We're trying to support people so that they can live and work and play in their community. The funding is just different, and they're, you know, so the mission kind of complements each other.
Mm-hmm.
So when we did that, we are now in 23 different counties with an extraordinary amount of effect in Ohio.
Oh, that's what's served by the Miami Valley chapter.
Wow. Miami Valley Easter Seals, yeah.
Well, that's interesting. And how, is that an older merger, or has that been around for a while?
You know, I've only been with the agency for 3 years. I think it happened in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so, again, I speak with a navigator, I explain my problem. Describe like the likely relationship that I have with Goodwill moving through time. Is it like a long term? Are most of your guests or customers dealing with you long term or temporarily, or are they referred elsewhere?
All the above. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, let's say you have you're elderly now and you have a visual disability. You may only go to Goodwill, talk to a few people, get an assessment, get some things that will help you, and you're out the door.
Mm-hmm.
Then you might have somebody who has a significant disability, they're unemployed, they have a low income, they may have mental health problems or other issues, so they might be around Goodwill in any of our departments for a number of years, mm-hmm. or come back occasionally.
And are they coming to your building for the services, or do you guys reach out into the community, both?
We do reach out to the community. We have offices and satellite offices and most of those 23 counties,
mm-hmm. and areas. And let's talk about your new building. You guys have a swanky new building in downtown Dayton.
It is. And, you know, when you talk about accessibility, they built it with universal design, which is above the requirements for ADA. So there's some really interesting and good features in there, which makes sense if you're going to be open to and accessible to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, you know, we have the routine things like the automatic doors, and we have a huge helix, which is a huge ramp about 475 feet long, so that people in an emergency can go down this helix and not use the elevator steps.
And actually, you can see it from Main Street.
Yes.
So we should tell people where the office is. It's on.
It's 600 Main Street,
just south of Route 35. There,
right?
Yeah, just south of downtown. It's, and you just moved in this year. It's a
November
brand
of last year. Yes.
Okay, yeah. So, where were we located before? I forget.
We were on Koontz Avenue. Okay. And we still have a facility there. Mm-hmm. Of course, most people know us by all our retail stores, which mm-hmm. are all over the place.
Right.
And that the retail stores and their sales supports the missions.
Mm-hmm. Where does most of your funding come from? Is it?
Well, we have quite a bit from the retail stores, and then mm-hmm. we get it from Medicaid or other social services. Mm-hmm. You know, your Adamus boards, your DD boards. Your state and federal funding.
Mm-hmm. And how large an organization, staff-wise and client-wise?
Well, we served, let's see, in 14 we served over 17,000 people.
Wow.
We employ,
that's a lot.
I know, we employ 611 people with disabilities, and that's about 52% of our staff.
Okay.
So we have about 1,200 staff overall.
So, which is a big part of what you do. I mean, it's a place where people with disabilities can reasonably fine, good, important work.
Right.
Yeah, that's neat.
Right. We have a lot of referrals from the Rehab Services, uh-huh. which is now called Opportunities for Ohioans with Disabilities.
Talk about that facility a little bit. I've heard of it. That's the one up that's still up on Koontz, right?
I'm not sure where their office is.
Sure.
That's they contract with us, so
okay.
some of the people were coming to Koontz for that service, but they have been a federal funded organization. For many years, mm-hmm. first called Rehab Services Commission, mm-hmm. and their primary focus now is getting employment for people with disabilities, of course, and so we work with them. They get federal funds, then someone might be referred to us, and then we link them up with a job coach mm-hmm. or a job assessment, and then help them get placement, and that. You know, that's what we're geared to do for them.
That's pretty cool. We should tell people what they're listening to. In case you're just joining us, this is Miami Valley Voices on this Cox radio station. I'm your host, Ron Rollins, and we are here with Christina Herr, who is the Senior Director of Program Services at Goodwill Easter Seals of the Miami Valley. The news peg for today's show is this is the 50th anniversary this year, this summer, I believe.
No, 25th.
Oh, 25th. I'm sorry. What did I say?
50.
I said 25th. Yeah, sorry. It's the 25th anniversary, thank you, of the Americans with Disabilities Act. It is kind of odd to sort of imagine the world now without all the stuff that the ADA brought in, and I remember when the law came in. I was working in the news business at the time, and I do distinctly remember that there was a lot of complaint about it by business people a lot of times who had to make these accommodations. There were extra costs. They were kind of annoyed. They're like, well, we don't have that many disabled people. Why do we have to fix our restaurant ramp? And you don't hear that anymore. At least I don't. I don't know if that's if you think that's that over time, it's just taken 2.5 decades for people to sort of snap in and get it and realize that this is simply the way this should be done, and then they accept it now.
It's a lot easier with new construction. I think we even have difficulty sometimes if we're trying to lease an office somewhere out of an older building, and we realize the bathroom would have to be renovated and the front door would have to be renovated, and then it's cost prohibitive.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the fact that it's built into new construction is the key.
Do you guys work with developers on ADA compliance issues, or are you a resource for that? Or
no, I don't believe that we are. I mean, anybody can go to the ADA website, mm-hmm. and there's also an accessibility guidelines and universal design guidelines that you can get on the website. Mm-hmm. But that's not our particular forte.
Okay, cool. Now, what does your job entail?
Well, I help to support all the directors of all the program services, the mission services.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be all the people with disabilities who are coming in for adaptive devices or counseling or help to get work.
Mm-hmm.
So I work with the directors and try to do program overview and operational management.
And you said 17,000 people that were, and that's in the 23 county area.
Right.
Is there a... What are some kinds of services or programs that Goodwill does that would surprise people, do you think?
That would surprise people? Well, we have a car seat program.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
You can call if you've got a child and you need a car seat and you have income eligibility, or if you have a child who has a disability and needs a specialized car
uh-huh.
seat.
Okay.
You can go there. They'll give you a little class. They will help you find the car seat. They will give you the car seat. You pull your car up. They even actually show you how to put it in,
mm-hmm.
and everything, which when you think about children with disabilities, that's huge to have somebody you can go to find these specialized seats.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Anything else? What else comes to mind?
We have senior services. We're really expanding in that area in terms of not just day services, but we're also doing home health care and trying to keep people who are going from a nursing home back to their home after an operation or a period of time. We're expanding into our behavioral health area. So we have a clubhouse on grounds where people who have behavioral health issues and have just need a place to hang out during the day or would like some help finding a job, they can go there.
And that's I have to brag on that a little bit. I told you before we turn on the mics that my wife, who also works for Cox, is on the founding board of that organization, the Miracle Clubhouse, and she's very proud of it and has done they've done a lot of work. It used to be over at St. Elizabeth Medical Center,
correct?
And it was kind of not floundering, but it was a small fledgling organization that really wasn't sure about sustainability. And it's only about 5 years old. Until Goodwill adopted it. And does Goodwill do that often, where you find a program in the community that needs a home and sort of take it in like that? It was kind of a remarkable thing.
In the 3 years I've been here, we've done that quite a bit.
Yeah.
I think because we're now large enough that and had a standing reputation now that we can, you know, people recognize our name. They know us more than just our stores. Mm-hmm, and so we're a good person to approach. And Goodwill's really, the board's really open about new ventures if it's within the mission.
And so the clubhouse is in a new building that's, I guess, on Warren Street behind your current building. Yeah, that'll be cool. What other sorts of stuff?
Well, we have assistive technology, which people can come in if they need some help with computers and they can't access them because the use of hands or arms, or they need to speak into it or whatever,
right.
Touch screens. So we have somebody who can help them with that. Sometimes we have families with autism, children with autism that come in and look at our lending library for sensory materials and other adaptive devices.
Yeah,
we have that right there on Main Street. We have a radio reading program. I don't know.
I've done that before.
Yeah, that is a neat thing.
It is a neat program. Tell people about that.
I don't know if very many people know about it, but if you, for some reason you have difficulty being able to read, and it could be from vision or it could be from cognitive deficits, you can go and they will give you a special radio, and then they have volunteers all the time who will read the paper, stories, news, do interviews. It's wonderful.
It was really cool. I did it back when you were on Coon, so I need to sign up for it again, because it was through a literacy program or newspapers and education or something we used to do here, and it was super fun. I was a bunch of us from the newspaper came down and it was like for an hour or an hour and a half, and actually I thought that I would be the one that was picking the stuff that I would read. They said, you know, you'll be reading the newspaper, and they just handed me this lovely folder of assorted clippings from that day's paper and the Wall Street Journal and I think the New York Times maybe, and they said, well, start on the one on top and keep reading for an hour and a half until you get done. And it was really cool. I was like, well, do I give like a Shakespearean tilt to it? They're like, no, just read it straightforward with personality and tell people who you are, and it's a big deal for them, and it was really super fun.
Well, if you imagine that we couldn't read anymore for reason, we would want that because we're used to reading in our jobs and our everyday life.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, actually, probably more than we want to, actually. what background do you bring to the job? You said you've been with the organization for 3 years?
Right. I have a 35-year career working with the developmental disability population in Ohio. So I've worked in a number of counties. So that's pretty much my specialty is developmental disabilities.
And what kind of collegiate training and stuff leads you into this kind of career? I mean, what did you think you'd be doing?
I was going to be a special ed teacher.
Oh, okay.
And so I started as a classroom teacher, and then I took a class for rehab management. And a lot of people get into rehab counseling or teaching and then come into the field. It does take a lot of specialty classes. Sometimes a lot of it is just keeping up with the state of art things once you have a degree that gets you in and keeping certifications.
A lot of social workers go into the organization, or
I would say a lot of people who have taken social work classes. We don't have a lot of actual certified social workers. Okay. Most of our people are not, but we do have some that are licensed, and we have licensed counselors, and you know, we have access to psychiatrists and all kinds of people. But most people have degrees or have some kind of experience and interest, and it's really a lot of passion and know-how. Mm-hmm. That gets you going.
That's cool. And you mentioned the VA, you mentioned veterans early on as yes. some of the folks that you work with as clients. Do you have connections with the VA, or do you do work with it interconnects with the Veterans Administration?
We have
or?
A program called Vets. We do have a program for veterans, mm-hmm. and they work directly with the VA mm-hmm. and with all the veterans. They're kind of housed in our building, and we support them a great deal. Mm-hmm. We don't run them necessarily, but we support them. We also have a new program called Dayton Works, which the community has supported.
Yes, talk about that. We wrote about that in the Daily News, and you graduated your first class recently. Is that right?
I believe so.
I
can't give you the stats on that. I haven't been keeping up with that.
No, I heard it was not a large class, but it was a very mighty and impressive class, and it expects to grow. But tell people about it. It's modeled after Cincinnati Works, right?
Yeah. Yes, it's geared to get people with low incomes, not just a job, mm-hmm. but support so they once they get a job, they can keep the job and then develop a career and move up in that career so that they really have a good living wage mm-hmm. and not just, you know, a low paying job for the rest of their life.
And so it's like it's like job counseling, but it's also resume building, how to get a job, how to keep a job, soft skills teaching, that whole suite
right.
of stuff, right?
Yeah. They find supports wherever they can. Now, in our building, we also have financial counseling from GraceWorks. Mm-hmm. We have an affiliation with Sinclair, and we're trying to offer some classes in there. Mm-hmm. In that building. And so, you know, they even have a minister that works with the folks that come
oh, really?
In if they need it. Yeah. So we really believe about surrounding a person.
Right. Now, does managing some of those partnerships you mentioned also fall into your job area? Or?
I'm pretty much, it's hard not to be connected to everything, but yeah. That's not really the area that I'm responsible for.
I would imagine, but there are lots of partnerships, it sounds like.
Yes.
You've mentioned several just in the last few minutes.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And that's something I've always thought is kind of cool about Dayton, is that it seems like these interconnections between nonprofits and higher education mm-hmm. happen very easily. It seems like a pretty rich part of how work gets done around here. Let's talk about the new building a little bit more. You've had the interesting experience that a lot of people have not, which is, I mean, it's something we had from moving downtown into a brand new building. And it sort of totally changes everything in ways you wouldn't expect. And you guys have done the same thing, moving from one facility into a completely new, totally different home. Talk about how it changed the business and changed the way you work and think about what you do.
Well, this location really has helped us be more visible to the public mm-hmm. and closer to a lot of people who can then walk and ride to the facility.
You are on a main bus line now.
Yes. The number of people that just come into our building now, it's probably tenfold.
Really?
Yeah, it's just been huge jump in people. So that visibility is good. We have a lot more partners in our building than we did before, mm-hmm. which makes it a lot easier to collaborate. Mm-hmm. And then it makes it easier for people if they have more than one thing they need, that they don't have to go all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
I think internally it's been a challenge because the other building was so small, you could see all the other departments almost every day walking through the halls.
Right, right.
Now you have to go to another floor or see them in the elevator right. or the snack machine or something.
Is it four floors?
It's three floors.
Yeah, three floors, okay.
There's a lot of built-out space that's available that we haven't built out, so
okay.
we do have some growth available.
Yeah, and it really is a beautiful building. Now, the ramp you talked about is the thing that you can see from
the
Main
Helix.
Street. The
right.
Helix. It's the yellow.
Looks like a parking garage or something.
Yeah, and it's got lettering on it that are kind
yes.
of like inspirational and empowering kind
Correct.
Of words and stuff. Yeah, it's a nice piece of architecture.
Yeah.
Now you have a new director as well.
Yes,
Amy moved on and he came up through the organization, right?
Yes, he did.
And what's been his imprint on things?
He kind of acquired the new building after it was already a done deal. So, mm. he, some of those headaches of just coming in and trying to iron out things, and the expansion and the financial impact of that. Mm-hmm. So I think just the expansion is hard to keep up with.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Well, and figuring out how to use a new building is a big deal.
Right.
It took us quite a while, actually, here. I mean, we've the newsroom, our content department in this building we're at on South Main Street has been on two different floors in the last, we haven't been here that long, 7 or 8 years. And we moved from... And that was weird, but mm-hmm. you just do it. How can people reach you? Just a couple minutes left. How can people reach Goodwill? What's the way that people should interact and find out what's going on?
Well, you can get on the website, www.gesmv.org. Mm-hmm. Let me say that again, gesmv.org.
Okay.
Or you can call 937-461-4800.
Mm-hmm. And so, again, most people are referrals, or do you have people that literally just walk in the door with a need and just help me? I don't know where to go. I know about Goodwill, and
you don't have to have a referral to call in or to come in. Yeah. Either one, we're prepared to try to answer your questions and get you going as quickly as possible.
Cool. What do you like best about the job?
I just think it's the number of people that you're in contact with and the exciting opportunities. You know, collaboration makes your job a lot more interesting and enhances what you learn professionally as well as what you can do.
Mm-hmm. And other thoughts on the ADA and how it's changed things? Is it possible at this point to sort of imagine your organization doing the work it does without the Americans with Disabilities Act?
I just don't think we'd have the access. People would have access to us. We might not be able to call us. They might not be able to come in. They may not be able to meet with us. So, no, I can't imagine working without that. And I think, you know, the kids coming up today, like you mentioned before, they have a whole new attitude about who should be around them and mm-hmm. that everybody should be accessible.
Yeah, that is a big change. And it's again, it's one of those things where it's like once you've had it around for a while, you can't imagine what things were like without it. You can remember, sort of, but it changed. Yeah, it did change everything. And it's interesting. It changed everybody's life, not just the lives of the people that it was meant to serve.
I think some days that we're just a seconds away from having a disability ourselves, of having an accident or some kind of medical issue, and
that's an excellent point.
How would that change our life if we could not go where we want to go?
That's an excellent point. I hadn't even really thought about that. That's a very good point. Parting thoughts? 30 seconds left. Anything else?
Just 461-4800.
Okay, that's cool. We have been in the studio today with Christina Herr, the Senior Director of Program Services at Goodwill Easter Seals of the Miami Valley, located on South Main Street, just south of downtown Dayton, a wonderful organization, and a much bigger organization, I think, than most people probably realize. And we've been here to talk about the 25th, I got it right that time, anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act. Thanks for tuning in. This is Ron Rollins, your host. This has been Miami Valley Voices, and we will be back next Sunday on this Cox Radio station. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great day.